This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice.
It is true that in the Old Testament, the proper name of God, as far as we can tell, we don't know exactly how it was pronounced, but we do know how it was spelled. The proper name of God in the Old Testament is Yahweh. And it is true that in the New Testament, the proper name of Jesus, as it was originally pronounced by people who would have seen him on the street, was Yeshua, basically the name Joshua. But what if someone were to tell you that in order to worship the true God, you must refer to God as Yahweh and Yahweh alone, and to Jesus as Yeshua and Yeshua alone. Otherwise, you are worshiping a false God. There are groups that actually assert this. They're called Yahweh groups. And joining us to talk about these groups on this Monday afternoon, January the 23rd, Bob Hunter. He's author of an article in the latest Christian Research Journal titled Yahweh is His Name. He joins us from Fort Wayne, Indiana. Bob, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Are these Yahweh groups Christian groups?
No, they're not. They would claim to be. In fact, they would claim to be exclusive Christian groups, but they deny some of the essentials of the faith.
Such as?
They deny the Trinity, for one thing. They do hold to the Father and to the Son, but they teach that the Holy Spirit is a mighty power from the Heavenly Father, that its purpose is that we may be able to have the ability and strength to bring our lives into a state of perfection, pleasing to our Heavenly Father. So they find the Trinitarian doctrine to be foreign to the inspired scriptures, according to them.
So then if they have the Father and the Son, before we get their history here, Bob, who is Jesus Christ, according to these Yahweh groups?
They believe that he pre-existed with the Father, but they are a bit vague, though, on whether they would consider him to be deity. I can't find a direct answer to that question in any of their literature. They do hold to his pre-existence, however. So.
How might our listeners be familiar with any of these Yahweh groups?
Well, you can find their teachings in a lot of other organizations as well. And some of the offshoots of the old Worldwide Church of God hold to a lot of these doctrines. And their emphasis is always on the name, the proper name of Yahweh for the Father and Yeshua for instead of Jesus. They maintain if you don't have that proper name, then you're not worshiping the Christian God. So,
give us their history, if you would.
Well, they originated back in the 1930s. They were part of what was called the Sacred Name Movement, and that began among some members of the Seventh-day Church of God who were convinced that knowing God's name was vital to their salvation. Out of this movement, several Yahweh groups have sprung over the years. There's probably hundreds of them now. The largest one is the Assemblies of Yahweh, which is based in Bethel, Pennsylvania. And it was begun by Jacob Meyer, a former member of the Church of Brethren. And he started a small church in Hamburg, Pennsylvania. Or he attended, rather, a small church in Hamburg. He started a radio ministry in Bethel in 1966 called the Sacred Name Broadcast, which was followed by a magazine 2 years later, and then in 69 he founded the Assemblies of Yahweh. And they have probably several thousand members throughout the world in over 100 countries right now. There are other Yahweh groups as well, such as Yahweh's Restoration Ministry, which is in Jefferson City, Missouri, the Assemblies of Yahweh Seventh Day in Rising Star, Texas, and Yahweh's Assembly in Yeshua in Kingdom City, Missouri. But probably the best known one of all is the House of Yahweh, which was led by Bill Hawkins. He's known for his numerous predictions of nuclear war that were about to strike a few years ago. He began his ministry back with his father, with his brother, Jacob, back around 1980. They became convinced that they were the two witnesses of the Book of Revelation. And they started their church in Abilene, Texas. And then he started making predictions about nuclear war. He first stated that nuclear war would take place on September the 12th, 2006. When that date failed to take place, he said, well, that was only the nuclear baby, and that it's going to develop into fruition 9 months later. So that was going to be June the 12th, 2007. Of course, that didn't take place, so he changed it again to June the 12th, 2008 for nuclear war. And I was just looking at his magazine for January of 2012, and he's still predicting nuclear war. He just hasn't set a new date for it yet.
So this sounds like it's, in addition to being groups that fundamentally deny the Trinitarian doctrine, they also are, they have an apocalyptic bent to them.
Yeah, they do. They have several other distinctions as well. They teach, of course, that the Bible commands the observance of all of Yahweh's laws, statutes, and judgments from the Old and New Testaments, except for the sacrificial system. And they also deny the existence of hell. They believe the soul doesn't survive death. And they also teach that women are to keep their heads covered while in church and to remain silent.
Do they ever explain why it is? Because the genesis of this seems to be, as you've said before, finding the proper name of God. Do they ever explain why that proper name of God is so important to their salvation?
I think their view is that if you don't have the proper name of God, then you're worshiping a different God. And that's why it's so critical to use the name Yahweh and Yeshua for Jesus instead.
With regard to Christ's atoning sacrifice, you said they do believe in his preexistence, but they're kind of iffy on his deity. What would they teach explicitly about what Christ was doing at the cross?
I do believe that they would teach that he was his sacrifice so that we would be able to obtain eternal health, but it's also very works-oriented, and you have to maintain, you have to know his proper name, and you have to do this, you have to do that. So it opens up the opportunity, I guess, for salvation, but it doesn't automatically save you.
So it does not secure salvation. It makes it possible for you to live a life that would earn salvation.
Right.
Is it fair to call these groups legalist groups?
Extremely legalist, yes. Especially when you have to keep all the feast days and things like that in order to have any hope of salvation at all. So, and of course, they don't live in fear of hell because they don't believe that there is a hell to begin with. So,
then, do they have the hallmarks? They certainly have, as you pointed out here, have all the hallmarks of a heretical sect. Do they have any hallmarks of a cult, especially with their apocalyptic bent?
Yes, I mean they're very exclusive. They're only people in there who hold the proper name of Yahweh and observe the laws and feasts and that have any hope of salvation. So they're very exclusive.
How would they regard Trinitarian Christians, or I mean, just to put it generally, how would they regard the mass of Christianity historically that has confessed the Trinity and that has held to and taught salvation by grace through faith for Christ's sake alone?
They would consider them to be the cults. They would consider them to be lost. I've had some personal interaction with another group of Yahweh people called the Black Yahweh Movement. There are a couple of teachers here in Fort Wayne that teach that. And they maintain that although Yahweh is the proper name for God and Yeshua for Jesus, those who hold to a different view speak out of ignorance, and it doesn't exclude them from the possibility of salvation. But you don't find that at all in the other Yahweh groups.
So finally then, what would be your best piece of advice? You've interacted with them, but someone else finds himself in a conversation and surprised to find that they're talking to someone who believes that the only proper name of God is Yahweh, the only proper name of Jesus is Yeshua, and that we have to keep all the Old Testament, New Testament laws to be saved. What's your best piece of advice in dialoguing with a member of one of these Yahweh groups?
I would point them immediately to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith, not of works. They should be able to see themselves that there's a lot of works involved in their attempt to achieve salvation. Yeah.
Bob Hunter is author of an article for the latest Christian Research Journal titled, Yahweh is His Name. Bob, thanks for being our guest.
You're welcome.
When we come back for Hour 2 of Issues, etc. on this Monday afternoon, yesterday, of course, the 22nd, was the 39th anniversary of the Supreme Court decision Roe v. Wade. We're going to spend the second hour dealing with that decision, at least the first part of it. Dr. Robert George of Princeton University will be our guest. We'll get a legal perspective on Roe v. Wade 39 years later. I imagine he's going to say it's bad law. I wonder if it were any other decision, and the legal consensus was that it was a badly made decision by the Supreme Court, whether or not we wouldn't be revisiting that Supreme Court decision. Then Sarah Foster of Feminists for Life will join us to talk about feminism and abortion. And we'll round off Hour 2 of Issues, etc. on this Monday afternoon, January the 23rd, with Dr. Angus Manoj of Concordia University, Wisconsin. We're going to talk with him about a book from Steven Pinker. He's a Harvard professor. He says that violence has decreased of late in human history because religion has become more humanist. He's written a book called The Better Angels of Our Nature. We'll review it with Dr. Angus Manoj in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.